Greetings to everyone from the People's Temple Agricultural Project here in the Northwest region near Port Kaituma. Last night, a medical drama unfolded in Jonestown that involved the life of a 2.5-year-old Port Kaituma boy who was rushed into our medical clinic. Before he even arrived, communication came to Jonestown via radio that a child was going to be coming in shortly with an emergency condition. The entire medical staff was alerted to be in readiness. Within moments, special medical devices were readied, suction machines, a laryngoscope, various equipment that would be or could be required in case of a tracheotomy was necessary, as well as oxygen and resuscitation equipment. The Jonestown surgical staff, which is on a 24-hour emergency standby, was ready to go to work and included, in addition to the project physician, two respiratory therapists, a family nurse practitioner, and pediatric nurse practitioner, in addition to several registered nurses and paramedics. I would also add that Reverend Jones expressed an immediate feeling that a vehicle should be dispatched to meet the incoming vehicle, and that if this was not done, there would be serious consequences. And he turned out to be right, because the vehicle bringing in the child had gone off the road. But with the help of the Guyanese driver of that vehicle, we were able to get the people in. Just in case, however, members of the medical team were sent out with the driver on the Jonestown Project vehicle. Comrade Fraser and Mrs. Fraser came in with the child. Now, Comrade Fraser is the locomotive operator of the train that runs each day, I believe, from Port Kaituma to Matthews Ridge. And at this point, I'm going to introduce you to Comrade and Mrs. Fraser, who are in our broadcast room with us now, and let them explain to you what was wrong with Bob, the two-and-a-half-year-old child. Comrade Fraser.
Good morning, Comrade. Yesterday afternoon, it was a very grievous afternoon for me. My only son, Bob, 2.5 years old. Myself and his mother was out from home. We living with his sisters and one of his aunts. Really, to be honest, I don't know what got into his head, but he took a sore subseed and pushed it right through into his nose. When I went home, I met them, was trying to get it out. But as they did not know how to operate on the thing, it got further down into his nostril and stick. I then decided that I must have to seek medical attention immediately. I contacted Comrade George Phillips at Port Kaituma for the arrangement and transportation. This he willfully and freely gave to me. But on our way through, the road was very wet. Coming through to Jonestown through the bad weather. We stuck and run half the road. I had to get off the vehicle. On my way running through to come, I met Comrade Johnny Jones. He was heading towards me with full speed because he had expected us coming. He had got his information. So after he didn't see us in such a hurry time, he was coming with his vehicle behind him. When the vehicle got there, it had a full medical staff and everything fully equipped. We took the child into the vehicle that came for us, right away into the hospital. The doctor started his operation with the help of his staff and many good friends around. It took about nearly 2.5 hours before they have got the seed out. The doctor have did his best. Comrade Father Jones, he was there too, and he have given me all assurance that the seed would be out early. Soon as he said this word to us, the seed was out from the baby head. I was so grateful, and I must be so thankful. And even the words that I wanted to use to them for the kind cooperation that he have given me, I cannot find it to put it there. But I hope in this, everybody around the area would be very grateful in case anything should happen to them. and they would be able and willingly to take their child or children or even their family there to Johnstown, where they would be having full medical attention. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Comrade Fraser. And Comrade Johnny Jones, who's in the broadcast room with us too, would like to add a word about the incident with the vehicle before they came into the clinic.
I'd just like to say that Comrade Fraser mentioned that I was running down the road. The only reason I was running down because earlier my dad, Jim Jones, had instructed me to go down to meet the vehicle because he said he felt that our assistance would be needed.
Thank you, Johnny. According to the medical staff, I understand that the seed, the soursop seed, was lodged in a very dangerous position in Bobby's, up in his nose area, very far up. And if it was not dislodged, it could have cost his life because it was a possibility that it could have worked its way into its lungs. And according to the nurse practitioner, it could have resulted in a cardiac arrest. The medical staff, as Comrade Fraser explained, worked for several hours to remove the seed and used several complicated procedures. But they were not completely optimistic through these procedures. There was difficulty in doing that. And I want to reiterate what Comrade Fraser had said, that something very extraordinary happened when all seemed to be of no avail. Jim Jones, who has a quite widespread reputation in the United States for gifts of what is termed spiritual healing, as well as for his work for social justice and humanitarianism, Comrade Jones came into the medical office, and this was quite late. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and the staff was exhausted. They had been working very, very hard to remove the seed from Bobby. He had not been there at all, just briefly, just a moment, when the seed came right out with very little trouble. And I wish to say at this point that we have no precise, exact way to explain this phenomenon, except as an extraordinary dimension of the mind, perhaps in the realm of what is referred to as faith. And indeed, we have seen this extra-dimensional faculty work repeatedly through Comrade Jones over many years. In any case, the seed came right out. And this morning, we are very, very grateful, very, very happy, all of us, that Bobby is doing fine. He looks absolutely well, as if nothing at all had happened. And because of the hour, it was so late last night that Comrade and Mrs. Fraser and Bobby stayed over at the project. And I understand that this morning, you had a chance to look around the community and see Johnstown. I think this was your first time there. And I would like to just ask you, Comrade Fraser, if you could maybe give us some of your reactions about what you saw and about the community in general. Thank you.
Well, you ready for me? Well, I went around the community this morning. The community is very wide. And they're doing lots of wonderful work. Lots of planting, lots of cleaning up, and all sort of things. They're having some beautiful schools. The children I saw went to school, and they were well being taught. They're going fine. Everybody looks to be happy to me, because I can see this from what I have seen going around. I take my breakfast this morning with the community, and it was very pleasing and nice for me, myself, Bob, and my wife, Ernestine. And I am very thankful for this.
Thank you very much, Comrade Fraser. In closing, I would like to just say that situations like this are not unusual. Medical emergencies happen frequently. And we are very happy to be able to get something done about them. And in several cases, the services we've been able to provide in Johnstown have meant a difference. Well, Comrade and Mrs. Fraser, we want to thank you very much for coming here to the broadcast room to speak with us about your experience.
Thank you, comrades in the broadcast room. I am very grateful for this.
Thank you very much, comrades and friends.
Good afternoon. Here in our broadcast room at the People's Temple Agricultural Project near Port Kaituma in the Northwest region, we have several people who have come to visit our medical clinic today. I'm going to be talking with them in just a minute. First, I would like to say how much all of us at the community here, and there are over 1,000, are so very happy and proud to be able to be here in Guyana. Comrades, this is a beautiful country, and the Northwest region is particularly beautiful. This is a land of possibility, of promise, and we are busy building this project, expanding and developing in many directions. Just now, our brick-making factory and soap factory are getting underway, and every day something new is happening. New seeds planted, new land cleared, perhaps new animals added to our livestock center, a new dwelling under construction. We are all working in a spirit of joy and socialist cooperation, knowing that as we grow and develop, the region is developing and, by extension, the nation. So we see ourselves as an integral part of a much larger process, and that process is the cooperative spirit, socialism. We're a community that is motivated by this ideal of service and cooperation, which has been so clearly exemplified by our project leader and founder, Comrade Jim Jones. It is due to his leadership that our community has become a reality, and it is due also to the spirit of friendship that the government of this great nation and our Guyanese comrades have extended to us, making us feel welcome and right at home here. Our medical clinic, perhaps, is a symbol of what we are all about, caring and helping. We are very happy to be able to be of service in giving medical assistance to all who come and who have need. It is our way of making a contribution here, and we are confident that we can contribute in many other ways as our community develops. So, on behalf of all the residents here in Jonestown, young and old, let me just say, thank you, Guyanese comrades. We are so happy to be here and to be a part of this growing nation. Here in our broadcast room this afternoon, three staff members and one of the students from the Burnham Agricultural Institute nearby have come to Jonestown to spend a few hours with us. With them are two members of our agricultural staff, Comrade Russell Moten, one of our agronomists, and Comrade Gene Chaikin, who is the manager of our citrus project. I'd like to introduce at this time Vincent Hudson, who is a student at the Burnham Agricultural Institute, and Comrade Johnny Phillips, Comrade Arthur Cameron, and Comrade Maureen Tyrell, who are all on the staff at the Institute. Welcome to Jonestown. Your impressions of the project. First, we have Vincent Hudson.
Well, I find the Jonestown settlement a good one for the development of the area. And I think the venture is a good one for the people of the Northwest and then Guyana as a whole. The plants being planted, the different sort of crops and things, would help in the feeding of the people of the Northwest and maybe possibly in later days the people of Guyana.
Thank you, Comrade Hudson. And now I'd like to ask one of the staff members on the Burnham Institute, Comrade Arthur Cameron, a question. Now, Comrade Cameron, could you just give me maybe some of your impressions of the Jonestown project, what you thought of the kind of work that's going on here coming in? I think is this your first time here? Second time. Maybe you can just say a few words of what you thought of what was going on, what some of your impressions are.
I like Jonestown. President. I feel from the time they started here at Johnstown, I feel the great for the period of time. I think they have done a lot of good. They have cultivated a lot of area, planting various crops. Enough to feed themselves.
Also with us is Comrade Johnny Phillips, who's also on the staff at the Burnham Institute. Comrade Phillips, maybe you'd like to just say a few words about your impressions of the community here.
Good afternoon, Comrade Johnny. I'm very much impressed about this project and the way it is moving forward tremendously. I've been here for quite a long time, in and out a few times, and my first visit here, there were a lot of, the buildings weren't wooden, they were just this barramundi and, you know, a few shops and so on. And another few months to come back here, I've noticed a lot of wooden buildings and so on. And I can see there is tremendous improvement moving forward very quickly. I'm very grateful for the People's Temple project being here, because they are enlightening this Northwest region very much. And I would also like to mention the hospitality, which is very good. I did not expect such hospitality when I first arrived here, but it seems to fit in automatically as a People's Temple resident. I feel very much comfortable here, and I must comment about this because it is very good.
Thank you very much, Comrade Phillips. Comrade Maureen Terrell is out of the broadcast room right now. She'll be back in just a few minutes. I notice, Comrade Russell Moten, that you and Comrade Chaykin and our friends from the Burnham Institute were chatting over in the pavilion area just a few minutes ago about a very important topic in this region, cassava. Would you like to maybe tell us a little bit about your discussion?
Yes, that's true. We were chatting about cassava, and we know, for instance, that there's a new building or that has been been built recently in this area to process the cassava, and we were trying to figure out how much it would take to keep it running on a regular basis. We were just talking about how we had been talking to a gentleman by the name of Neville, who is was telling us about the a new type of cassava that will produce, a bit of cassava that will produce in 6 months. We were laughing because we understood that it was going to be producing anywhere between 15,000 to 20,000 pounds of cassava per acre.
What's the usual rate of production for cassava? Is that I would imagine it's quite a bit lower than that.
Yes, it is. Much lower than that. More like, I guess, maybe 2,000 pounds would be an average.
I think that the yield per acre for cassava might be that much higher. Let's say in the vicinity, about 8 to 1,200 pounds. Taking into consideration the variety that is being grown and the sort of land that you have available and its preparation, whereby you either get a good yield or the yield may drop from time to time.
I think that everyone who farms here in the Northwest region is very concerned about the production of cassava, not only because we have the new cassava factory here at Port Kaituma, but also because we understand that it's an essential part of the national development, that the cassava starch is required for the production of bauxite, which is one of the mainstays of our economy here in Guyana and for this region. For this reason, many of us are consistently concerned with the development of cassava production here, and the kind of chat we have is something we should hear very frequently. But I just wonder if anyone else has any comments about what we might do to improve our production, or how we feel the price structure deals with what we can do or the like. Comrade Phillips, you have something you could say about that?
As far as the price is concerned, I think it's a bit low, because I've done some farming in my time, and the work that has to be put in cassava and the yield you get, it isn't profitable at 10 cents per pound. And I don't know how this they arrive at this price, but really there should be something more than that, rather than the 10 cents they put forward to us.
One thing that we have been discussing is the need to develop improved varieties of cassava. We find that, well, that some varieties appear to be more leafy than others, and realizing that the more leaf area you have, the more starch production or sugar or starch production of any particular plant you're going to get. So we realizing that some varieties have more leaf, we're going to see if they'll produce more tuber than some of the less leafy varieties, as well as even setting aside certain plot areas and seeing how, for instance, the amount of shell will influence it versus lack of shell, or maybe the amount of urea, or maybe a full dose of urea, TSP, and potash. We're going to try different techniques and just see possibly what would be the best way to get the best yield with the least amount of cost.
I think in this water, in the Northwest region, cassava production is doing a lot. Cassava on soils, cassava crops, you must have to vary, rotate in fact. You have a crop of cassava now, you take it out, you put in a crop of legume. I think you could constant working on that. A crop of cassava, a crop of legume.
I know that in my reading, comrade, I've read in places in Africa and Asia where they grow cassava and they mix it with the legumes. They'll actually plant them at the same time, like maybe a couple of beans of one variety or another next to the cassava sticks. And I wonder if either of you can enlighten me as to whether or not that's been tried here, and if so, if it's had any success.
Personally, I'm not aware of that system has been tried here. But what I would suggest is that cassava, after one or two crops, the yield will certainly drop, and there is some need for improvement of the soil. And I would like to suggest probably fertilizers and probably shells or something like that, and so to improve the soil, and possibly legumes also. But I would more agree to the old system in which most of the local farmers use, which is cutting and burning and then moving to another area to cut another new farm. But at this environment here, it's not possible because farming is concentrated on mostly on one area.
Comrades, we've just been chatting here in our broadcast room at the Jonestown Agricultural Project of People's Temple with some of our guests who've come in today from the Burnham Institute to spend some time with us about cassava. And obviously from the conversation, we can see that there is a great deal of interest and a great deal of study going on, which will all, we are sure, enable our region, beautiful Northwest region, to be more productive and to be a greater contribution, to make a greater contribution to the overall growth and development of Guyana.